248-539-9797. I know a lot of people slept a little later today because they went to bed a little later because they stayed up for overtime last night.
Yep.
Canada defeating the United States 3-2 to win the Four Nations face-off. A tremendous game. Congratulations to Canada. Connor McDavid with the winning goal. Dylan Larkin was really good last night. Dylan Larkin was really good the whole tournament and showed that he definitely belonged. The Pistons back in action tonight against the San Antonio Spurs. And Wemby is done for the year. That's kind of sucks for the league, sucks for the Spurs. But knowing the Spurs, although they did win last night, they'll somehow, you know, be in the lottery and just like Tim Duncan and, you know, like Wemby, you watch, they'll get
Cooper Flagg.
Yeah. It's just the way it works for some strange reason. Wings back in action tomorrow afternoon. Back-to-back games at LCA. It's the Minnesota Wild tomorrow afternoon. And then Sunday at 6, it's the Anaheim Mighty Ducks. All right. Also tomorrow, Tigers spring training. The Group Fruit League begins. There were some games yesterday, but the Tigers don't start until tomorrow when they take on the Philadelphia Phillies. And Kenta Maeda is going to make his debut.
Yep. A lot of guys will make their debut.
Yes, Maeda obviously was on the team last year.
Really excited to see these guys. And we probably won't be able to see them. I don't know if it's actually going to be broadcast anywhere we'll be able to watch. If anybody knows, I tried to look yesterday if it's MLB, if it's Tigers' website. I don't know that you'll be able to actually see it, but you'll be able to hear it over on our sister station, 1270.
That's right.
It will be broadcast, so you get a chance to hear. Gov, is Dan doing the game? That we get the A team. There's no.
Dan will be on it. I'm not sure about color yet. Okay. That changes a lot in spring training.
Yeah, but this is a moment that I will be turning my radio on, no matter what I'm doing, to listen and hear Dan's voice. It is to me the start of spring, and it doesn't look like it out here, but it starts to feel a little bit more like summer, spring, Tiger season. All of that is right around the corner, and it's the excitement. What is this team going to be this year? It's our first opportunity to hear anything about live baseball.
Yeah, no, and it's actually a little bit early this year. The regular season opener is March 27th against the Dodgers, so yeah. It just seems like it came on really quick, and it's kind of interesting. I know you mentioned this very early in the show, but the weather is actually supposed to start warming up around here a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
And it just feels like, yes, we're at the end of the marathon, and with that is baseball. I mean, there's nothing like the just hearing the first games and
the crack of the bat.
Getting jealous of the weather down there.
Yeah.
But then it's also starting to turn here. But, yeah, I think I'm very curious about where Tiger fans are at. This team made the playoffs last year.
They were six outs away, basically, from going to the ALCS.
They won a round.
Yes.
You know, their general manager gets quite a bit of heat around here, it seems like, for not spending and ownership. This team made the playoffs last year, people. And I'm getting the feeling that people think it was a fluke. And that my expectation is that they will make the playoffs.
Yes. That's my expectation as well, that they take a step forward.
So is it a failure if they don't?
It's weird. To answer you, I do think last year was a fluke, but I still think they're going to make the playoffs this year. I don't think the two have anything to do with each other.
Oh, no?
Yeah, no.
The development of the young players didn't mean anything?
Well, no. I mean, so, yeah.
Building on that for this year?
No, they'll get better. But I'm saying the whole chaos and all that kind of stuff, that I don't think that is sustainable. That's all I'm saying.
No. And right. I think most people think it is, but right. you can use it still when you need it.
Yes.
But they do have pretty good pitching.
Yes, they do.
You know, and
pretty good. They got great pitching.
If Job comes on and contributes at some point during the season, which I think he will in the latter half, and the hitting, I think, gets a little bit better.
Right.
I don't see why people would think they wouldn't. I would equate last year's Tiger season maybe to the Lions 9-8 year where they missed out on the tiebreaker. Seattle that got in?
Yes. Yeah.
The Tigers just lost, or the Tigers benefited from, a slim margin against their competition to get in the playoffs. But I do think the Tigers are on the path, and there seems to be like this feeling to me like, you know, it was just a cute little thing last year, and I don't sense like an excitement towards the season.
A belief.
Yeah.
There's no belief. And Stoney, like you, I don't think they do it the same way. I think this year it's more of a traditional path where you do have, you've got starting pitchers more than just one, and then chaos for the next 4 days. You're going to have Tarek Skubal. You're going to have Jack Flaherty. You're going to have Reese Olson. Where the chaos may come in is
if there's injuries.
But even at the start of the season, injuries aside, because Cobb won't be there.
Right.
So it is, what is Casey Mize going to be? Is he, is this the year where he finally makes that recovery from Tommy John and he's what we had hoped, even a measure of what we hoped he would be? Is he going to be number four? Is it going to be Maeda? Will Jackson Joe be in the starting rotation at the beginning of the season?
Will Matt Manning make the team this year? I don't know. Everybody's, he's got a new number. I know all the stuff that you read about Spitzer. I don't know. I'm looking at the over-unders, okay? So the Tigers and the Minnesota Twins are co-favorites, 83.5. That's from the Action Network. Cleveland, who won the division last year, 82.5. Kansas City also at 82.5. And the White Sox at 52.5.
How many divisions have four teams over 500 on over-unders?
I don't know.
I think that's why they're all maybe a little low.
Yeah, probably.
They don't have a clue who's going to. They're protecting themselves against any of them.
Probably, yeah. So 248-539-9797. Is it a failure, do you think, if the Tigers don't make the playoffs? Because I agree with you. I do think it's a failure because the division is not that strong. I do expect them to get better. And look, they did make it last year, whether it was a fluke or whatever. That's irrelevant to me right now. I just think they're going to be better, and I think they should make the playoffs. And if they don't, it's going to be because of a catastrophic injury or something like that.
So let me ask you this. Not that I want to go position by position, but Colt Keith in his second year, moving to first, Gleyber Torres at second. Is that going to be better offensively, those two guys, than they were last year? I think Colt Keith will probably take a step forward.
Yes, hopefully,
and Gleyber Torres, I think he'll do better because it was Spencer Torkelson at first last year for a large part of the season.
So Torres will do better than the second baseman last year, who was Keith, who will probably do better than the first baseman there last year.
Right, so the combo, I think, will be an upgrade. Now, you think about the other side of the field. Now, here's the big question. Defensively, who's going to be the third baseman? We talked about that ad nauseum. And whether it's Vierling, Jace Young, or if it's Hau-Yu Lee, he capitalizes on the momentum that he has going into spring training. And Trey Sweeney at shortstop. Dare I say?
Yeah, Javi.
Javi.
Who knows?
Yeah. Do we expect that will have more production? Whatever combination it might be, will be better than the combination that they had last year.
I think it's probably the same or a little better.
Yeah. A little bit better.
Yeah.
Okay, so a little bit better. I'll take a little bit better.
Yes.
All right, and the pitching situation, Tarek Skubal.
I don't know if you expect him to be better than he was last year, but hopefully, I don't know if he's going to win another Cy Young, but he'll be really, really good.
We only had Flaherty up until the trade deadline.
Correct.
So we get a whole season with him.
Hopefully he won't have to do back injections and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
That's something to worry about.
Reese Olson.
Hopefully he won't get hurt. Yes.
Jackson Jobe. Casey Mize,
I don't know, man.
But I'm talking about in terms of
better than he was last year. I don't know. He might not even make the team.
No, I agree. But will the starting five, and some of it is with the idea that they don't have to go to the pitching chaos as much early in the season, but they'll have at least three in the rotation that you could count on to start the season.
Yes, you would think so. So,
Jake Rogers behind the plate. No, I mean, offensively, you're not going to get a whole lot.
No.
I mean, maybe some key hits here and there.
Now,
but
Dingler will be the backup the entire season, so that might be an upgrade. I don't know.
Yeah. And we didn't even talk about the outfield with Riley Green and Parker Meadows.
Carpenter, DH.
Right.
Or outfield.
I have higher expectations going into this year than I certainly did last year, and part of that is the excitement coming out of a playoff run. Mm-hmm. I think if they don't make the playoffs this year with this roster, do I expect them to make the World Series and win the World Series? No. I do expect them to be a postseason team.
Yeah, I do too. I think they should, you know, at least get one of the wild cards, you would think. I mean, they're good enough to win the division. I still think Cleveland might be a little bit better. But other than that, I don't know. I mean, yeah, it would be a failure. If you go from where they were last year, where they got to the second round, they got to the ALDS, almost got to the ALCS, and not make the playoffs, yeah, yep. Step down. That would be a failure. We were talking a little Tiger baseball here, and we checked the over-unders, and the Tigers and the Minnesota Twins are both 83.5. Cleveland's at 82.5, along with Kansas City. And Chicago's at 52.5. And Gov, yes, your answer is correct. Tigers are the only, the AL Central is the only division with four teams with 81 or more wins as their over under totals. However, they're only the only division with nobody over 90 either. So there's no great team in there.
It's going to be tight.
Yes, it is. All right, here's some ticket texts. If anyone's criticism of Scott Harris is, quote, he didn't spend, they've absolutely zero ball knowledge and just follow the crowd. They spend, they're like now middle of the pack, right? Isn't that what everybody wanted? Middle of the pack? They're like 17th or 18th?
Well, the people that will point out, though, that some of that's Javi, and they'd be bottom tier team
without him.
That. Well, that's not Scott Harris. He didn't sign him in a contract.
Listen, I my belief here is I was really fascinated by what they've done last year. And me and Jim especially have sparred in terms of the way the Tigers are doing this. And I have been patient with it because I think it requires patience in baseball. I think what the Tigers are going to end up doing here is blend and spend. That's what this is going to be. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a blend of money ball, and they're going to spend strategically. And I think Bregman, they didn't do it recklessly.
No.
And you have to understand that this team has to operate with a budget at all times.
Although
in the market that they're in. But they do. I'm not being a defender here completely. They do. They better spend eventually.
Although I would say offering that guy 6 years is kind of reckless.
Well,
which is fine. I mean.
Yeah, but.
Whatever.
Hey, you know, here's the deal with the Tigers. This is that I believe in baseball right now. If you have two guys playing third base, one's a righty and one's a lefty, and you match them up correctly against the opposing pitcher with using analytics, that they can perform above average collectively. I think that's what the Tigers are doing. And people might not like that. The Tigers are taking an approach that our lineup's not going to look the same every day. They're playing matchups. That's what they did last year. They exposed matchups. I mean, who in the world, who in the playoffs changes their leadoff hitter based on matchups? Molloy? Was right. Against the lefty, Boyd.
Right.
And Meadows let off. Now, Meadows needs to prove that I think he needs to become an everyday leadoff hitter this year. He needs to be, when he's facing the lefties, be able to lead off and handle it because correct. Of his speed.
Yep. This offense is going to hold them back. They didn't improve offensively enough. Gleyber Torres isn't enough. That's fair. However, you're not allowing the natural progression of people like Riley Green, even Kerry Carpenter and others, Colt Keith, to get better.
Well, and so Kerry Carpenter, it's just a matter of staying healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he missed a large chunk of last year. Mm-hmm. When he came back, that is, it also coincided with them going on their run.
Drew in Woodhaven texts, no spending or anything longer than a one-year deal equals no excitement. The owner and GM do not seem to believe that there's any reason to be encouraged enough in this team to invest in it, so why should I? That's from Drew in Woodhaven. Well, they tried with Bregman. And I
yeah, they ultimately didn't get the deal done, correct. But it's not for lack of money or years.
Right. They definitely do need another right-handed bat, and whether it's through trade or whatever, there's still a couple of people hanging around who don't have jobs yet. What the Tigers did to finish out the season was once-in-a-lifetime thing we haven't seen in like 50 years. I don't think they're that much stronger. I think their offense is going to be better.
I think the biggest yes, I think their offense is going to be better. I'm curious as to how much better, but this is also a pitching staff that at the end of last year, part of that, what made that so unique was the chaos and the ability to pull the strings at the right time that A.J. Hinch did. I don't think he's going to be forced to be pulling all of those strings early on in the season.
The Tigers need to be patient with Job. I see what you did there. No belief. I think we win the division. Okay, good.
Yes.
Worst defensive infield in all of baseball. No right-handed hitting and two catchers who can't hit their weight. Oh, and two garbage cans by the name of Maeda and Cobb. Last year was a facade. Fourth place is the most likely finish. That's Damon and Fraser. Well, a lot of baseball, obviously, especially if you don't have a great team, is based on hope and ifs. And I'm sitting there. Cobb, to me, I wasn't a big fan of that signing.
Yeah.
And Maeda, look, he struggled last year, but the flip side is he probably can't do worse. So if he at least can, you know, do what they thought he would get last year.
Not a great sell.
I know.
He
it's
can't
not,
be
it's,
worse.
It's not a great sell. But
well, but okay, so if he isn't, was he not better as a middle reliever?
Yeah.
A long reliever.
He was better.
Okay, so maybe that's where he is in his career. And here's where I think they continue to be better than a lot of people think. It's A.J. Hinch. Mm-hmm. I think he is one of the best managers in all of baseball. We saw it last year, how he was able to manufacture wins. How many of those wins, obviously players have to go out and perform, but were manufactured by A.J. Hinch?
Quite a few. Guys, we have to judge Keith different too now that he's a first baseman who isn't a great fielder. He has to be able to rake for him to be worth it. He's going to be a 800 OPS guy.
Good point. I agree with that.
Yes. The Tigers overachieved to me coming that close to the ALCS, and usually when you overachieve one year, the next year balances out and we don't make the playoffs or get bounced wild card. To me, if they don't make the playoffs, it's a failure.
With Meadows and Keith, think about if they just avoid the long slumps.
Yeah, right. The prolonged
think
no
about
production.
The difference that will make on the win total just with those two.
And Torres is a proven hitter. I mean, he's not going to be
Yeah, and he's
an
on
all-star.
A contract year. He's going. I mean, this is humongous for him to make money in the future.
To me, it's simple as if Scooble starts 35 games and we miss the playoffs, it's a failure because we have the weapon. We don't have the weapon. We have the weapon to win you a World Series. He's like an average team having an elite goalie in the playoffs. If he continues to be what he's doing, yes, absolutely. This is the year the young development has to take its toll for them. Job needs to contribute. Meadows needs to show last year wasn't a fluke. Young needs to show signs. If we win 85 and miss the playoffs, it's not a failure to me. That would be interesting. Win 85. Well, 86 has always been your number, but 85 would be a good season.
Yeah.
I would assume they'd make the playoffs with that, or at least win the division. The Tigers have what it takes to win in the playoffs, an elite starter and then a great bullpen. It's about getting there and being healthy.
Well, and we're also hoping that, I mean, the development. And we know that the risk, we saw the risk last year with Parker Meadows. Mm-hmm. You know, thought that he was going to come and light things on fire, and it took him a long time. It took him a trip down to AAA to come back and be productive. Spencer Torkelson, we have no idea what he – well, we probably have an idea. We have a hunch that maybe that's not going to work out, but it could. There's a lot of things that could be better this year than weren't, and I think there's a lot of fans that are looking at it going – they can't possibly do that again, and they're not going to take enough steps forward.
I agree, but in fairness, there's a lot of things that could be worse than they were last year, too. That's the whole thing with baseball. If. .248-539-9797 is the telephone number. Coming up at 9:35, I met a guy yesterday who was a very famous name. And it wasn't that person.
Oh.
And we'll explain if it ever happened to you. All right. Tigers, Lakeland, working out, you know, reading all the stories. Oh, this guy looks good. Best shape of his life. Look out for this minor leaguer.
Yeah.
Yada, yada, yada. Well, John, there might be somebody in Lakeland who surprisingly has a shot, I'm not saying it's going to happen, of making the big club.
Well, and this is on the heels of losing out on the quote-unquote Bregman sweepstakes.
By the way, not to interrupt you, which I am, the Bregman thing in Boston is causing...
huge!
The Red Sox, and I know they're some of their fans, but even the organization, if they had to do it all over again, they might say, you know what?
Not worth it.
This is not worth it because Devers is just... pissed.
Oh, yeah. And he is like, no, I'm not going to be DH. No, I'm not going to move to second base. Right. I'm a third baseman. And like, you would have thought that those things would have all been discussed, ironed out, and talked about.
Trade him here. We'll take him at third.
Hey, you never know.
Yeah.
Might be on the blocks.
But there might be somebody else at third.
There could be. And with, like I said, not having anybody in free agency come, we've got obviously Vierling, we've got Jace Young, but John Morosi yesterday from MLB Network had this to say about Haoyu Lee.
I love the Polanco comp.
Yes.
You know, because he's kind of stocky. Mm-hmm. Like Polanco. Now, I don't know if his head's as big as Polanco's. Polanco had like the hugest dome, man. We used to tease. Jamie used to say his head's even bigger than mine. Anyway, look, out of nowhere, I'm at 2006. Now, it's different because the Tigers were awful in 2005. Leland's first year, all of a sudden, people didn't expect Verlander and Zamaya to come up. You know, right from
the beginning,
beginning of the season. Yeah. You never. Sometimes this stuff happens. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not counting on it, but it would be good. Then they acquired him for Michael Lorenzen.
Yeah, with Philly a few years ago, and he's 22. And you heard about what he could do at the plate, making hard contact. That would be great. And if he's able to make that transition, because Jace Young's not, you know, natural third baseman, Matt Vierling again, not natural third baseman, but. If you got Gleyber Torres at second and Haoyu Lee can make that transition, you might find a little bit of a diamond in the rough and find a right-handed bat that you could probably platoon with Jace Young, who's obviously a lefty, at third base.
So this is why you don't block players. All right, I'm so sorry, Costa. He's rolling over in his cabana if he's listening. Seriously, I'm just kidding. No, look, is this preseason spring training
hype? Of course.
What you said about Verlander and Zamaya is true, you know, that was not expected. Maybe Verlander
Zamaya. Most people didn't even hear of Zamaya.
They didn't even know who he was, right? So, look, maybe they found something here. But him along with Lorenzo.
Yes.
Are two little things that maybe Harris has kind of plucked out of thin air here.
Possibly. Yeah, and you can throw Sweeney in the mix, too, with that. You do love reading these spring training stories.
Well, so we'll get a chance to start seeing it on Saturday. That's when they play their first game. And who knows, you know, who's going to be in the lineup, who's not going to be in the lineup. You would think a guy that never played AAA, they want to get a good look at. They want to test as often as possible that we're going to see a lot of him in spring training at third base to get reps there, but also at the plate. And if he does, you know, show that he can make that transition, who says? There's no written rule that says he has to be at Toledo for X amount of games or X amount of at-bats before he makes that transition.
No, I mean, look, if he's the best third base candidate coming out of Lakeland, by all means, start him. And if he doesn't produce when the season starts here, you know, you send him down to Toledo. What's the big deal?
Get right. Give him another chance. Exactly. They did that last year twice.
Yes.
And it worked once, and not so much on the other one with Torque.
Yeah. Well, he got a little better when he came back, but.
Can you imagine, like, Dickerson, he gets called up and they're going to do a play-by-play, or he's on base and somebody knocks him in and it's like, Meadows scores, Lee scores, Tigers go up 5-3. How you doing?
Well, you know what? As long as they have somebody.
Well, Greg Gagne is going to get a chance to call him with the
sure.
He's the guy that fills in for Dickerson.
Right. He's had him. Right. How you Lee. All right. It's time for news. Here's Heather.
Work in the Detroit neighborhood affected by that big, massive water main break is expected to last through March. So on Wednesday, officials provided updates during a press conference, and they said that they're dedicating a team to focus on recovery efforts over the next 6 weeks to get people back into their homes and obviously to address the health and safety issues. Like I said, the main focus is to get these homes back in safe condition so people can go live again. 400 homes have been affected. Almost 300 people were staying in a hotel as of Tuesday. More than 250 homes were either flooded, their basements, or without power. So there's a lot to go through, right? When it comes to the actual water main, water has been removed from the site. Crews excavated the area around the main break. They say they anticipate that an estimated 12-foot section of pipe will need to be removed and obviously replaced. They have that replacement on order, and it's expected to be delivered very soon. And then they say the timeline for that actual repair could be about 2 weeks. Listen to this. The former president of the Spanish Football Federation was found guilty on sexual assaulting a member of the women's national team. You might remember what took place. This was several years ago. He was found guilty after he kissed this player on the lips without consent following the 2023 Women's World Cup. Now, he was ordered to basically have no contact with this female player for a year. He was also fined over $10,000. He was acquitted as well on coercion after he allegedly tried to persuade this woman into saying that the kiss was consensual. She said, I'm not doing that. This was not anything I wanted.
Such a weird moment.
Yeah, she says she felt she you know, was there at the trial. She says she felt disrespected and that the kiss basically stained one of the happiest days of her life. So, yep.
So weird.
Creepy old man.
Yeah, yes, 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 yes. A wild freak accident with a salad cost Dodgers pitcher Dustin May his season and almost his entire life.
Oh.
So he was on the mend. He was rehabbing. He had just had Tommy John surgery in 2023. Yes, watch out. And he was close to rejoining the team when he had this freak accident involving a salad. Went out to dinner, obviously ordered a salad, and got a piece of the lettuce stuck in his throat, caused a serious tear in his esophagus. He had to undergo emergency surgery. Basically said like he had mega pain, I think is how he described it, in his throat and stomach for about 15 minutes. And then it just went away. Thought, I'm going to be fine. Everything's, I feel good. His wife said, I don't know. It sounds really strange. You should go get checked out. He did. He had to undergo this massive full abdominal surgery. And he required 6 months of recovery where he couldn't lift weights heavier than 10 pounds. All because of a piece of lettuce.
Yeah. Wow.
No nutritional value. And
no,
it could actually kill you.
Could. I mean, I'm guessing it could have been anything.
It's the end of salads everywhere.
But it just happened to be that piece of lettuce. Yeah. An extremely rare animal. My God. Who was that screaming? Was that?
What was that from?
Was that Stoney or the guy like falling off the cliff?
No, it was not Heather. That was Stoney.
Oh, it was Stoney.
We did some kind of screaming contest on the air. I don't know.
That's interesting.
Stoney, no idea you were a screamer.
Yikes.
Yikes.
All right, so an extremely rare animal believed to be extinct has been spotted in the wild
put that in her brain. Yikes.
She says, yikes.
Heather's going to have a dream with Costa and Stoney's going to be screaming.
No. No more dreams.
You hear about that, Stoney?
No.
Oh, well.
She had a dream about going on a date with Costa.
Yeah. We've got a, it's been.
Have you seen this sitting around?
Oh.
Yeah.
Show it on Twitch, John.
Here, gotta take it out.
So you can actually see it.
Wow.
Heather smiles when she sleeps, too, with her mouth open.
Apparently that night, yes. I was had a big smile on my face.
The closest thing I can relate to is I have a friend of mine. His mother had a dream that she ran away with me to Acapulco.
This topic and story only gets better. It's like fine wine.
Yes.
Oh. What was her name?
Gloria.
I'll start singing.
G-L-O-R-I-A.
Gloria Levin.
That's the news, guys.
Thank you very much, Heather.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Stoney.
When you're not dreaming about Jim Costa, you should be going to Planet Fitness.
Yikes.
Like I do. I don't dream about Jim Costa, but I go to Planet Fitness, and I love it there. It's a judgment-free zone. It's a dream-free zone. Go there. Help me get in shape both physically and mentally. Planet Fitness offers high-value memberships that support any fitness journey. And I'll tell you what, a great deal's going on right now. $15 a month, a dollar down. That's right, $15 a month, a dollar down. And I love the cardio stuff that they have there, the elliptical, the recumbent bike. But they also have brand-new plate-loaded machines like the hack squat and the supine benches and all that great stuff as well. There's over 50 locations in Metro Detroit, including brand-new location, 1200 West 4th Street near Detroit's Corktown. Go get the Black Card membership too, which allows you, if you travel a lot, over 2,000 clubs worldwide. My sister-in-law was down in Florida with my wife, and she's a Planet Fitness customer. She used the one in Boca Raton the last few days. Planet Fitness. Find your nearest club and join today in-club, online, or on the free Planet Fitness app. We're all strong on this planet, Planet Fitness.
Some fun with Vegas odds coming up today at 12:35. 248-539-9797. Open lines, talking a little bit about the Tigers. Spring training starts on Saturday. And we've got, we're kind of asking about guys who struggled, is any of them capable of a bounce back? And if so, which one? Torque, Baez, Maeda, and Mize. 248-539-9797. Joe is in Sterling Heights, and he's on 97 on the ticket. Hello, Joe.
Hey, boys. How we doing?
Doing all good, right, Joe.
Good to hear from you. So, to get right to the point, I think Torque has the biggest upside. I think, he has the smallest contract out of all those guys. He's the youngest out of all those guys. I do think he could bounce back. I hate his comments about the analytic thing. I saw Darren McCarty talk about that on his podcast a few days ago. You can't really do that unless if you're a winner. You can't really, plant your flag, so to speak, unless if you have the background to it. Maeda's cooked. Baez is cooked. And Mize, he's just always hurt. So I don't really think anything into that. But one quick little thing I wanted to say, I know King mentioned it earlier. Why don't we like the idea of going after Devers? I know it's a big contract, but we're offering Bregman seven years, and Devers is clearly head above shoulders better than Bregman.
Well, I just can't imagine he's really available.
He's got a massive contract, too.
If he's disenchanted with being in Boston, and say Boston, I saw what Cora said basically we're going to do what's best for Boston. And so if they end up putting him at second base in, and he becomes available, would that be somebody that you guys would be willing to, trade just about anybody for?
I don't know if I'd trade just about anybody for him, but if he gets to the point where he becomes available, yes, I would absolutely call, and I would see if something could be done there.
Devers he's 28 years old right now, and he has a contract that's going to pay him until he's 36 years old at roughly $30 million a year. A little bit north of $30 million.
Miggy contract. It's like a Miggy contract.
Yeah, without the Miggy impact. I mean, he's a great player. Don't get me wrong. I like Rafael Devers a lot. But last year, 28 home runs, 83 RBIs. 871 OPS are solid numbers. How much longer is he going to keep putting up those solid numbers before you look at, oh, crap, now we've got six more years to pay this guy at $30-plus million a year?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing how much that timeline of contract would follow along with Bregman, but he would make him better. I will say that I do not think there'll be a path to getting him. I don't think he'll truly
to get Devers?
Yeah, I don't think he'll truly become available. I think they're going to sort that out.
I think they sort it out.
Boston be if they couldn't sort that out and they made that kind of financial commitment to Bregman?
Well, maybe they like Bregman better than Devers, and maybe they're just trying to flesh out the Devers contract.
I suppose that could be it, but...
To free up money to go for Vlad Jr. next year.
248-539-9797. Marty and Taylor. Hi, Marty.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
What's all right. up?
Hey, so hitting... If you watch both of these guys, when they finish and they're looking down, say, third baseline or a left-hander down first baseline, they're never going to hit the ball. When they're hitting and they're on the ball, and they're finishing with their head right down on the ball. I mean, take a peek and watch them, guys. I've taught hitting for a long time, and I think it's a focus, and, that's all it is for the hitting part of it. But I like Baez. He's got a much more upside than any of them.
Where did you teach hitting?
Well, I taught it at a place called Game On Sports Center here in Taylor. And, Taylor won the Little League World Series. So we play a lot of ball here, in Taylor.
You coach those kids?
I coach kids, man.
No, did you coach those kids that won the World Series? Sorry.
Oh, I've coached a few of them. There's a lot of, quite a few hitting coaches here in Taylor. You wouldn't believe it. And they do well.
You know, there's hitting coaches with the Tigers, too.
Wait a second. Did you confirm that?
Let me check. Yep. Several, in fact, with the Tigers, with the big league club.
So I guess the implication is the Tigers have a hitting coach issue.
Well, it's common about the players, if their head's not on the ball, if they're pulling away from it, they're not going to hit. I mean, that's batting 101, right?
Yep.
you know, facing major league pitching, we have no idea where the ball is going to be. The hardest thing to do in sports is to hit a round ball square.
You know, the thing about the Torque stuff, right? The Torque comments that everybody freaked out about. I feel like those comments came from frustration. I would love to see the interaction that led up to Torque's, because what you say in interactions with the media, I sometimes go, okay, I don't know if I'm buying it. And I would like to have seen that whole interaction, because when AJ Hinch was made privy to it, AJ was like, I don't know about it. You could tell he was like, I don't know about that. And I think he's just trying to simplify things and he's going to watch film. Because that kind of stubbornness, I think, comes out of, I'm going to guess that wasn't a great interaction before he said it.
Reading all the comments on that day that came out, the tenor didn't seem like again, I didn't see video of it. To see what his facial expressions were. But just by reading everything else, didn't seem like it was talking from frustration. It seemed like, you know, just, hey, you know, matter of fact, this is who I'm, an old school guy. I get up there and, you know, I trust my abilities and what's worked. I've worked through things before, and that's, you know, I suspect that's what's going to happen here. And he also knows, and this is in front of cameras and microphones, that he has said that, look, I got to be better. I know I got to be better. And he's taken a very positive approach, but what he had to say was just a little off-putting.
Yeah, if he turns out that he's uncoachable, it's just basically, it's not going to be a Tigers issue. It's going to be a Torque issue with everybody in baseball. He's like, I'm doing it my way, and that's the only way I'm possibly going to, I'm going to attempt to fix this thing. The hell with what you suggest. He'll be out of the game.
Well, maybe after spring, before going to Detroit, just stops off in Taylor for a bit.
let's go to Jake in Heartland. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Scott, Doug, love the show. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you.
So I think the most upside has got to be Maeda, for at least a couple of reasons here. One, selfishly for the Tigers, I think he just has to be better. And for his own gains, you know, if he wants another contract after this, he's got to put up numbers. And I think, you know, as a veteran pitcher like him, he's had more good, positive years and he just hasn't. And, you know, people like him are going to be due every now and again just to have a bad year. You know, and for Torkelson, I've kind of moved on with him. You know, you put Colt Keith over at first, and I think he'll be somebody that could potentially be trade bait, you know, be a project for somebody else down the road. And then the last thing I'll end on to with this is, out of anybody in free agency or potential trades, things like that, I'm really only interested in seeing Vlad Guerrero Jr. in a Tigers jersey. I know it might take a lot to get him. I know he would have a long contract or want that, $300 million, whatever it may be. But, you know, to me, it just seems like at 25 years old, he has the most upside. And, you know, pitching has been a strong suit. That's why, you know, I think that Maeda has the most upside with Chris Fetter, but really, besides that, we need a strong, solid young bat. And if we can't get him, they don't get him. But
so it was a huge story. It was a huge story, obviously, yesterday in Major League Baseball when he reached his deadline, the self-proclaimed deadline, which feels like a false deadline to me. So where do the Tigers rank in the possibility of getting him? CBS Sports put together a list listing the teams from 30 down to 1. And they were in some categories, and the Tigers were in the category of, it would be a monster upset if one of these teams got him. Those teams were Baltimore, Colorado, Kansas City, Detroit, St. Louis, and Minnesota. And the Tigers were 19th out of all the teams in Major League Baseball. The one thing that the Tigers would have is minor league prospects that are coveted. and they're one of the few teams that's at the top of the list that could really, really pay the necessary price. I think it's worth talking about. If he doesn't get traded before the season starts and you get into the year, things that we need to pay attention to is a quick start, which this team could really, really use to sort of help spark the discussions of taking on a player like that or any player that's going to cost a little bit more short or long term. Two is Toronto fall behind quickly in the American League East. And if I had to bet right now, I bet he re-ups with Toronto. I would bet that.
I would not. I don't know if players want to, and if they have the opportunity to make money in the United States over Canada, they would. And he's going to get monster offers from the teams out east.
Carson Anderson, 97.1, the ticket.
Hey, got the winter blues and you need a spark to get you through this? Well, Sarah Chevrolet in Southfield can give you the jolt that you need because the deals on the 2024 Chevy Blazer all-wheel drive EVs are incredible. So much so, Sarah Chevrolet bought out every 2024 in the county that they could find. And you can now lease an all-wheel drive Blazer EV for just $199 a month with only $999 down. Now, that's taxes and fees included, and these are shockingly low payments. The 2024 Chevy Blazer EV, it comes standard with heated seats, heated steering wheel, and all-wheel drive, all to help you give your drive go so much smoother this winter like we know it's going to be, right? Bolt into Sarah Chevrolet in Southfield before they're all gone. And believe me, at these low payments, these Blazer EVs are going to be gone soon. Not only does Sarah Chevrolet Southfield have late nights, but they are also open on Saturdays for sales and for service with loaner vehicles available too. Shop online at sarahchevrolet.com or give them a call. Sarah Chevrolet Southfield, they're generating excitement. Together, let's drive.
Doug Carr, Scott Anderson, 97.1 the ticket. 248-539-9797. We asked this question. We got a lot of traction on it. Spring training games start Saturday. I think people are getting hungry for Tiger baseball. The question was, if any of these guys would bounce back, if any of them, who would you bet on? Torque, Baez, Maeda, or Mize? Feedback coming in. Daniel Clinton Township says, I think Torque finds his swing. Javi's a lost cause. Maeda just doesn't seem to have it anymore, and Mize is still a wild card. From an unnamed texter, none of the above. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate your participation. Did the surgery lengthen his arm so he can hit baseballs 2 feet outside? That's obviously regarding Baez. Mize, but only because of injury limiting his ability to pitch. We have seen a large enough sample size with the other three to know they are all not good. Look, Mize, it's been frustrating. Been frustrating with Mize, but he has dealt with injuries. It would be great to see him. What was it last year? We said that the key number for Casey Mize, if you're looking for a metric, something that signifies that the season has been a degree of a success, I think we said 30 starts. just give us 30 starts, and that for Casey Mize would be a full successful year. He gave him 20.
Yeah, and the only time he's had 30 starts in his career was his second year with the Tigers. He made 30 starts, had a 3.71 earned run average, and we were excited. What was to come? Well, injuries. Two starts the next year with a 5.4 ERA. Last year, 20 starts and a 4.49 earned run average with a high whip of 1.47. That second year, so much reason to be excited about if you're a Tigers. With a 3.71 ERA and a 1.14 whip, and we're thinking, is this guy going to be on a track like Verlander was, right? Maybe not the strikeout pitcher, but has the command and is only going to get better. Well, he's been hurt and it hasn't been better. Looking at his game log from last year, you hope there's still some promise there, and there is, but I don't know if he's going to get the opportunity to start.
248-539-9797. Alex in Berkeley is next. Hi, Alex.
Hey, fellas. Thanks for taking my call. Gator, I think you just brought up a great point, and that's he doesn't have to be a starter to be a bounce-back candidate, and that's in Casey Mize. I mean, roster flexibility is A.J. Hinch's, you know, big thing, and if Casey Mize can capture some lightning in a bottle, he could be a great long relief guy. Or with the injury to Alex Cobb, there is some flexibility to the rotation for him to claim that fifth starter role. So I think that the player has the mental makeup to really be a bounce-back candidate, especially for the guys that you guys put out there in terms of candidates. And then two more quick things, if I will. The Rafael Devers thing, he is the worst-rated third baseman in the league. And with the infield shaping up the way it is, they can't, you know, necessarily have that. And he is also a left-handed stick. So they need a righty in that lineup. And then the question I have for you guys, I'm attending my first spring training game next week against the Boston Red Sox. Do I let Bregman have it? Do I hold up a sign with the A.J. Hinch quote that says, if you don't come here, we're going to beat you? What do you guys think?
I like that a lot. If you don't, like... I'm so relieved they didn't get him, and with an acknowledgement that he would have helped them this year. But there's something about this whole thing that just doesn't sit right. My hunch is that this is going to be a problem for Boston eventually. I like the idea of holding up the A.J. Hinch quote. I like it a lot.
Getting back to him on board with Casey Mize, and that he doesn't have to be a starter to make an impact. And he's right. He can come out of the bullpen. But last year, he was a little Jekyll and Hyde last year. He did show signs. I mean, out of the gate, in the month of April, he pitched 26 innings with a 3.08 earned run average. Not so good in May. It jumped to 6.56 with his ERA. But then in June, 29 innings, a 3.41 earned run average. And then he missed all of July. Pitched one game at the end of August, wasn't very good, and not very good to finish up the season in September. But he had a couple of months there where he was good. He's got to harness it. But here's the problem that I have with when it comes to pitchers, and Casey Mize is now 27 years old. He's going to be 28 in May. When you read quotes about a guy who was reported last week and he's like, oh, I'm working on this, I'm working on, like, still working on things. I get that you're always going to be fine-tuning stuff, but like if you're still trying to discover a pitch that's not revealed itself at the age of 27, and hopefully if you're relying on that to make you the better pitcher, the more consistent pitcher, I'm not sure if that's something you should be looking at or relying on when you're this old.
We're pushing back the fun with Vegas odds. We go to Tony in Madison Heights. You're next. Hi, Tony.
Hi, guys. I got two comments on two different guys of the four. One is Torkelson. I think he's going to be the bounce back guy because it's paralysis by analysis right now with him. So I think he's going to go over to see the ball, hit the ball, and just go let his instincts take over. And I think there's less pressure on him this year because of last year. So I think Torkelson's the bounce pass guy. As far as Javi Baez goes, I don't think he's going up. I think he's going down. And I'm wondering if they're doing all this stuff with him just to try to get a disability insurance claim and see if somebody should, you know, pay for some of that. Because that might be in the mix. He could be the UA croup of the Tigers. What do you think?
I think that's quite possible. You know that they've exhausted everything from a standpoint of coaching and try to mentor and teach and all that. And if in the end, look, he's not getting surgery. It's not elective hip surgery. You're getting it because there's a legitimate injury there. Now, does that help the Tigers' cause if it doesn't work out that they can make a claim? Yeah, I'm sure it does. And this is like the last ditch effort to get things right. Now he's recovered. He's, you know, taking batting practice. He's fielding grounders. Okay. Is he going to be a full go this spring? Yeah, it sounds like it. At some point he'll be a full go and they'll be able to evaluate it. But I have a hard time thinking he's going to be as bad as he was last year. And the fact that those numbers with 65 at-bats and runners in scoring position, that he was so good. There's something there with him. Can he reclaim it? Torque, I don't know if he can. Because it seems like Torque has been very hesitant and reluctant to embrace the technology of you know, the metrics that are in the analytics. And I feel like he's been saying he's going to trust his swing for years. He said that.
I bet when it's all said and done, Torque does. But we'll see. If he doesn't, it might be at his own peril. All right. It's Carson Anderson, 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. They specialize. Michigan Auto Law has recovered more million-dollar auto accident results than any lawyer or law firm in Michigan. If you do your research, you'll see it's the truth about Michigan Auto Law over any other law firm in the state. Same thing. Largest truck accident settlement of any lawyer or law firm in Michigan ever. $14.3 million. That specialization matters, which is why if someone in my family needs a lawyer for an auto accident, I'm sending them to my guy Steve and the folks at Michigan Auto Law. They care more, you win more. Michigan Auto Law, auto accident attorneys. Visit autolaw.com. That's autolaw.com. All right. So.
Okay. So, quick note: we're going to get to. I don't think it's hyperbole. I don't think this is some cheap sales pitch, but just seismic changes to college football and basketball, and frankly, Rico may be coming to my side on something? Question mark. We're going to get to that in 10 minutes. I want to offer one piece of news.
It angered me too.
I know. It's okay. I want to just bring one thing up, and we're going to leave it alone. But it's something that Kenny was made fun of for last year. I defended him. And I think it is going to be a name. Now, whether you're good enough to do something like this, whether the team he plays for is bad enough, those things have to play out. But over the weekend, Vlad Guerrero Jr., talks broke down between him and the Blue Jays. Now, this was something Kenny brought up as an idea last year because correctly, Kenny surmised he's not going to be a Blue Jay. Like, it's just not trending that way. And we talked about, well, do you make a call? Of course, Tigers didn't do that. They ended up selling. No big deal. Fine. Apparently, they offered $350. He's after $450. He will not negotiate a deal in season, which now puts the Blue Jays at a point where they either pay the freight or they're trading him at the deadline. That's just how this works. So if you're going to attach a name to a dream or a dream to a name when it comes to Tiger baseball, when you don't even need to ask about, well, what would you give up? Everything. Well, how much would you pay him? All of it. Like, I did. There's no conversation.
So he's Miles Garrett.
Right. What? Well, how many years more? Just he's 27. He's one of the great right-handed hitters in the sport. He plays first base. Now, again, if his people say, I'd rather die than play in Detroit, nothing we can do, guys. But if you're asking me, if the Tigers get off to a decent start, we're sitting here in June, deadline, Jays are struggling, Bo Bichette's calf explodes again, whatever. That will be the name we bring up. And you go, but we have Colt Kick. Take him. He is a guy that you put in the middle of your order, and it's going to be a Miguel Cabrera-type presence. And I'm sorry, you put that in the middle of this order with some of the talent that you have, the Riley Greens and the Parker Meadows. If Colt Keith stays here or not, whatever it may be, you're talking about something different. If the Tigers were ever going to make that type of investment, Vlad is one of the players I would do it for.
Well, I said that maybe your bat comes at the trade deadline, and man, that's more, swinging for the fences.
That's more than a bat.
Yeah.
That's.
But you know what? Here's the thing. Maybe they will. Look, they went all in for Bregman.
And I believe they
offered
didn't.
Him. You said you do?
I said I'm relieved.
Oh, yes. Didn't. I thought you said you didn't believe they didn't. I'm like, no.
No.
They went all in, and that told me they see this. They see what we see, and it's going to cost more. They were willing to pay the Detroit tax. So
now, again, is Vlad probably going to end up a Red Sox or a Yankee? Oh, of course. My point is,
are you willing to part ways with some of your top prospects?
Whatever you want. I don't care.
No, not you. That's for the Tigers. Yeah. Are they going to be willing to come off?
Oh, no. Please. They'll act like Maverick fans. They'll bring a coffin for Max Clark to the stadium. It's like it's Vlad Guerrero.
What is the fascination this town has with prospects? A boat's a boat, but a mystery box could be anything. It could even be a boat. We already have the trade for the boat.
I know. Honestly, I can leave. That's Kenny's best piece of radio ever.
I was about to say the DayQuil just kicked in.
No, but my whole point is, look, there's nothing to talk about now. But I just wanted to kind of, A, take 4 minutes and do the news of it. If there's going to be a name I bring up, Kenny brings up, or you, the caller, brings up and you will not be laughed at, it's that. He, in essence, is the perfect player, right-handed bat that you need. You have him anchoring your lineup, and you look at the talent you have specific to the left side. Think about Vlad being sandwiched by Riley Green and Kerry Carpenter. Good luck. So, yes, just that is a name, and I'm not going to laugh at it. But
no.
You would have to make a decision as a franchise. Are you comfortable? Because here's the other thing. If you're not going to pay Skubal, if you're not going to give him the 40 a year, give it to Vlad. That's how I view it. That if you don't have something done by this deadline with Skubal, then you're not going to get something done. So, well, where shall we take that money and the Bregman money? Hey, Kenny, feel like a boat?
It's boat time.
It's boat time. So, yeah, I wanted to say, like, if people want to make fun of that, they can. I don't think the Blue Jays are going to be very good. I don't. If they're struggling, if this keeps going the way it's going, you pick up the phone and you get Vlad's people to say, I'd rather die than play for you. Because other than that, let's go.
So the fact that they were willing to spend the money on Bregman tells me that they are serious. They see what's going on. And now the biggest question is, in order to make that trade, are you willing to part with some of your talent, your prospects?
Whatever you want.
I'm with you.
If I get 7 prime years of Vlad Guerrero, MVP caliber baseball, a guy who's hit 40 homers in this league, a guy who hits .310, a guy who just crushes baseballs, a mystery box or the real McCoy?
So you'd do like a Miggy deal where the final 3 years are just kind of, oh boy.
Well, no, because again, if he wants 10 years, he's 27. Yeah,
he's 25. He's 25.
I thought he's 27.
He's 25. We just looked at
him. Oh, 25?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
10 years. Done. Yes.
Done. So you'll do the Miggy years where the final 3 years is just him goofing around at first base.
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. The last 3 years, he's Sean Kemp. I'm good with it. I don't care. David, ticket text, and we can move to one of the orders of business today.
I don't think we need Vlad. I think we just need a healthy Javi. With the way we finished the season and him coming back healthy, we are a World Series contender. Just so everyone knows, I am texting this person to make sure they're serious, but that's what they sent in.
Okay, I'm not dignified.
Okay, yet. Until I get it. Okay, all right. No way. Do not give Kenny credit for the boat reference. The Guerrero stuff is interesting, mainly because he's a star right-hander and is exactly what we need. Yes, the Tigers need to look into it.
And the age profile fits. And again, does a lot need to happen between now and the point he's actually dealt? Of course. But you have better prospects than the Yankees. Well, the Red Sox are loaded. I'm not going to go down prospect lists because that I'll lose 99% of my audience. But trust me. They have one guy who could be considered the number one prospect in the game in Roman Anthony. The point is, you have the goods. If you are willing to pay and you're willing to give up some of the prospects, make him say no to playing here.
Yeah, and someone says, Vlad fits Comerica too. He wants to hit for average, and then when he connects, he will hit it a mile. So yes, it fits every way.
And by the way, here's numbers that I just want to throw your way, okay? What's the number 166 mean?
166?
OPS plus.
Mm. I was hoping that's what it was. Okay. Oh, my.
This is a guy with an OPS of near 1,000, all right? Not only is he your best player, he'd be the best player since Miggy Prime to don the old English D. But I don't want to give up Jackson Joe. Out.
What about Max Clark?
Out. I don't care. You let them pick their headliner. And again, they're not getting Job. Job's going to be in your rotation.
But if I had to give up Max Clark plus plus, I would do it. Heartbeat. This is a Hall of Fame player. That's how I view it. But
no,
you know,
I am with you.
I'm a horse's ass.
No, I'm with you. I think that let's hope that this team is competitive, that they will make that phone call. Because I think that they will. Because the Bregman thing showed me that they've personal growth. We said be interesting. They were interesting.
By the way, last year, ready? 6.2. That was his WAR. Do you know how much one WAR is worth? And this is baseball people, so don't be like, oh, Valeni's calculations. $8 to $10 million per one WAR. So last year, he was anywhere from a $50 to $60 million value player. So if you just round number it, $8, $9, or $10 million, depending on your perspective, that's what you're paying for per WAR. That's it. I rest my case. I just wanted to do the news of the day.
I mean, it's not like they don't have the money. I mean, they're kind of got a low payroll, so they can afford it.
Listen, if they're not going to sign Scoble and Bregman went elsewhere, which we're cool with, you know what those two numbers combine to? Vladdy. Tigers need to do their job. Be good. Blue Jays need to do their job. Suck. And then we'll have these shows in June.
So if they're not going to sign Scoble...
I don't know that. I'm just saying.
No. I was just listening to what you're saying. Would you put him?
No.
Okay.
No. What the Jays are going to look for is a rebuild.
Okay.
I got you a dollar. Here's never have to hear Max Clark's name again. Here you go. All right. Let's go. Let's get to the news of the day. We got a lot to unpack in the world of college sports. Enrico's network's ruining it. Football and basketball. Next, 97.1. 3 o'clock, good to have you aboard. Odyssey.com Rewind. You missed anything, including the way you watch NFL football could be changing in a big, big way. We'll get to that again, I'm sure, multiple times as that saga plays out. But we wanted to start out with something hypothetical. And I think it's appropriate today because one of the sports doesn't have a salary cap. And your team showed a willingness to put some cheddar on the table. And while the other league has a salary cap, well, it's been announced today that the salary cap in the NFL will go up from 255 to at minimum 277 to as much as 281. So again, round numbers, tiny brain, let's just say a $20 million increase. What I want to ask you is this. You get to choose one, but all parameters are in place, meaning the cost of acquisition has to matter. Also, the duration of how long you'll have the player, the age of the players. I am asking you, it's simple but complex at the same time. That's what makes it a great conversation and a really good radio topic. I want to know if David could pray on this right now and could deliver either Vlad Guerrero Jr. to the Tigers at the trade deadline. He doesn't get a deal done with the Blue Jays. Somehow he loves Coney dogs and he'd be willing to play in Detroit and you'd have to pay him the better part of $400 million. Or David prays on it and it's Myles Garrett. Now one guy's 25, one guy's 29. One guy plays in a sport where your career lasts a lot longer. Vladdy was a 6.5 WAR player last year. That's about $65 million in value. He's one of the best right-handed hitters in the game. He hits for average. He hits for power. He hits for fun.
Mm-hmm.
Myles Garrett is Megatron. Myles Garrett is a built-in-a-lab defensive end, plays all three downs. Think Reggie White. Think prime Michael Strahan. Think J.J. Watt. Both your teams are playoff teams. Tigers desperate for a right-handed bat. Lions desperate for D-line help. You get to pick one. Now, what it's going to cost? Picks for Garrett? You probably get 2 to 3 years of prime Garrett before you got a problem. Is that fair?
Yeah.
Vladdy, you're probably getting 7 or 8 years. What would Vlad cost you? Well, first of all, if you're trading for him at the deadline, there would have to be assurances of a contract. We cannot be in the business of giving up what it's going to take.
For a rental.
Yes. Now, I'll tell you this. There's no way Jackson Jobe is in this deal because he'll be in your rotation. But if it was Max Clark and
McGonagall.
Yeah, like if it was Clark, McGonagall plus, would you do it to get Miggy Cabrera 15 years later, 18 years later? That's really what you're doing here. And there was a time it was unthinkable to give up Andrew Miller and Cameron Maybin. Hold, please. So you get one. I try. I do. I want to go around the room, but I want, guys, the most important opinion is yours. Both of these teams are good enough where they can make a big move. One league has no cap. The other one is going through the roof. You can only have so many prospects. You can only have so many picks. Mm-hmm. The need is the need. Pick one. Vladdy or Garrett?
Oh, that's a great question. I'm going to go Miles Garrett. I'm going to go Miles Garrett because the Lions are ready right now. When you talk about the top four teams or top five teams that can win a Super Bowl next year, the Lions are in that discussion. You can't say the same about the Tigers because the Tigers, I would say Dodgers. I would say Yankees. I would say Mets. I would say Red Sox. I'm not saying Detroit. So even if you added Vlad, it's not going to put you over the top. If you add Miles Garrett to this team already and they're constructed for the next 2-3 years, probably how long you're going to get the best out of him, I think that's the best deal. Yes, you would have Vlad a lot longer. But in the 2-3 years, if you got Miles Garrett, you may actually get a championship. You may actually get a Super Bowl. And I would trade whatever picks you wanted.
Yeah, I'm with you there. I don't think there's a wrong answer. That's why this is fun.
And the other reason, real quick, and I know he's going to get better, but I don't know if Aiden's going to hit 100%. I don't know if he's going to be the Aiden Hutchinson that we saw pre.
What do you mean he was going to play in the Super Bowl?
Yeah. For everybody who believed that, did you see him running?
Man, okay? He looked like David going to the bathroom.
Like, he's going to get better, but I don't know if he's going to get back to 100% ever. So Miles Garrett is kind of the insurance policy in case it's not that way, in case he has reoccurring injuries to the leg,
yep.
In case there's some type of a setback. I got Miles Garrett. I'm good.
So let me make the case for Vlad. Not that I disagree with Rico, because I don't, candidly. I mean, I think Garrett puts you in the Super Bowl conversation. But for fun, the Vlad thing would be interesting because, A, you're acquiring a superstar, something this franchise does not have. B, you're getting a decade out of this guy, right? You're not signing Anthony Rendon at age 31 and the guy dies. Like, you're getting someone you can build a team around. And with the pitching the Tigers have, continue to have, they've got the witchcraft of Chris Fetter. Rico, there's also this idea of I'm not a huge prospect believer, is that I understand I need them, but I like to weaponize them more than anything else. I like to use prospects to go get players. Now, it can blow up in your face. We know this. But I just think the acquisition cost is so much lower when you factor in, I'm getting a Hall of Famer. I'm giving you a mystery box. The Tigers are in desperate need of players they can hang their hat on. Please do not hold me to this. If you're just, it's like asking me, what do you feel like for dinner tonight? I reserve the right to change by 6. I feel like we're losing Scoobal. I'm not sure. Now that this has gone through this offseason and we're headed in season now.
Because of lack of extension?
Yeah, that if you didn't get it done now, is Boris going to now, okay, you had your shot. They made a, quote, non-competitive offer. I've given you the history of how Boris is willing to get rid of 2 years. It's got to be a big deal. What if the Tigers don't believe in paying a pitcher? Because, again, if Scoobal blows out, he's missing the better part of 2 years. If I know, all right, Scoobal is a 50-50 at best. Fair? Who else do I have to put on the season tickets? See, I'm in the interesting business.
Right, I mean, I guess.
Don't say it.
Okay.
You want to say Riley Green?
I was going to say Riley Green.
And I like Riley Green. Lovely young man. But give me a break. I mean, Riley Green could deliver a pizza to someone. They wouldn't know it's Riley Green. I just...
It's awful tall pizza, man.
It's very... Okay. But I just... I think the Vlad thing would be incredibly interesting because the Tigers at one point were the hottest thing in town. They owned summer. But they did it with stars. And you know I don't like building a ball club like this. I'm not interested in this. Vlad would be must-see TV on a nightly basis. The guy that can go out, hit 310, hit 35 homers, have 100 RBIs, have 1,000 OPS. He plays with some swag, some flair. You're not wrong with the Miles Garrett thing, but Vlad thing would be incredible.
No, no, it would. It would
reignite this town, I think.
It would, and if I had assurances that not only would the Tigers make that move, but they would go out, they would re-sign Scooble, and they would bring in more pieces, then maybe I would lean that way because now that's a long term where you're winning, where you're going to be competing with the top teams, with the halves. Right now, the Lions are a half.
Yep.
The Tigers are not a half. They were in the playoffs, but they kind of, you know, they were kind of like that lucky fan that got brought out on the court and hit the three-pointer.
Oh, the kid who earned free books for the semester?
Yeah, that's what they are.
That's fair. 248-539-9797. We'll hear from David. We'll get to you, the caller, as well. And yes, I can't believe I've agreed to do this today at 345.
Mock Draft Madness.
Oh, 1.0.
Oh, God, take me now.